Gracious God, how often do you speak to us, and how often do we miss it? How often do you whisper blessings over us that we refuse to hear? Open our hearts and ears to your songs of justice. Create space in us to not only hear these words, but to believe the good news. Amen. Our Psalter reading this morning is Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7. Listen for the word of the Lord. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
When we think about the Christmas story, we usually think of the words from the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. We blend these special stories together in the telling, in our hearts, and in our celebrations. Mark's Gospel doesn't even have the birth story. It begins with the baptism. The Gospel of John, it's most important to him that Jesus was there from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Matthew starts off with a genealogy because that was really important to him, but he quickly moves into the telling of how Jesus' birth occurred. So let's listen to the living word from Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. May your spirit stir us, especially in this season and on this day, so that we hear you and your words that you speak. In your son's name, amen. What do we do when unlikely remembrances crash together? Take, for example, those who have an anniversary or a birthday on the anniversary of a murder or a really bad event like the terrorist attacks of 9/11. Do you apologize for celebrating? Which event overshadows the other? Or do we have to pick between the two? Today, our What Can't Wait theme is Love Can't Wait. And our scripture tells us the more subdued story of Jesus' birth from the perspective of Joseph. Yet this year, today, is also the winter solstice, or what is more commonly known as a blue Christmas, a day where many churches have an additional service to offer those who are grieving or sad or experiencing loss in this space a place to come and acknowledge those very real feelings and to offer hope on the winter solstice, the longest of nights. To share the grief and to remember in the midst of what is painful for so many that there is still hope. We are beloved. Love is here, even if it may not feel like it. For many, Christmas can be a hard time. It can be a lonely time. Maybe this was true for Joseph. Mary shared her pregnancy news with Elizabeth. We don't hear of any kind of support network for Joseph. Yet I don't see him as a passive figure willing to sit in the background any more than I see Mary that way. He had bravery and he had faith, and he believed. He was an honorable man who planned to do what was right for Mary and save her the humiliation and the risk of punishment by divorcing her quietly. Yet when he encounters an angel, he has the faith to do as God had asked. He had his own "here I am" moment. Do it with me as you say. In terms of modern music, I'd also see a crash. You've got Elvis Presley's Blue Christmas on one side, and you've got Johnny Lee's Looking for Love on the other. We spent a lifetime looking for love, and here it is. Love can't wait. Yet while everyone else hears of a Christmas of white, there's those who are experiencing a first year with an empty seat, or for whom this season might always be hard. Nothing but blue. How do those two sit side by side? Maybe this is the perfect scripture for today after all. Mary was brave, and she was singing about a resolution, a world that was about to be transformed. She walked along long roads, probably barefoot, pregnant, probably a little bit afraid in the midst of her faith. She was brave, and she was an example of faith. You can revisit last week's sermon if you want more details on Mary. Yet Joseph, how many men would stand by a pregnant fiancé, support them in trials of their pregnancy, protective and caring, always in the picture, but most often as a support character? I see Mary and Joseph overjoyed that love couldn't wait. Imagine them talking about sharing what the stories of the angels. Picture that discussion. I imagine it was hard for them to fathom, how is this about to all unfold? Amazed that those messages aligned, and yet not fully understanding how this is going to be. What exactly is to come for them and for Jesus? I only have my context, but I picture a young couple. They're engaged. They're on the cusp of marriage. They're starting off their life together. In the marriage counseling that I've done, you've got hopes, you've got plans, you have dreams of how it's going to be as you begin your life together. Their love for each other couldn't have been a fragile thing. Otherwise, it would have shattered at the weight of those angels' messages. It may not look like some of our love tales today from our songs and our romances, but it was a love that was centered on faith, a compassion, a love that had a care for the other. And it's a love that we don't really talk about that much between Mary and Joseph. This wouldn't have worked out if they didn't have compassion for one another. The roads that they walked along the way to Bethlehem, and then fleeing with a young child running from Herod, that would have been impossible if they weren't a team. Yet it comes with the blue. This wasn't their dream scenario, I imagine. In many ways, it was the highest of honors, a calling to bear Jesus for the world. But it was also the death of the dreams that they had had before and those plans of what they thought their life was going to be like. Picture the many nights of not just the 9 months of a pregnancy, and then traveling to Bethlehem along dusty roads for a census and no place to stay that planned out, but then also fleeing from Herod and journeying through Jesus' life as a family. No matter the faith, the grief is a part of their story. We need to remember that, and we need to honor that. We don't need to belittle the blues of Christmas while knowing that in the end, love doesn't wait and can't wait. The angels tell Joseph, "Do not be afraid." And almost every time when we hear from angels, the first thing they say is, "Fear not." They tell him that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son. You're to name him Jesus. Yeshua, Joshua. The meaning of that word is salvation, or the Lord saves. He will save the people from their sins. He will fulfill the prophecy of a virgin giving birth to the Messiah, and he shall name him Emmanuel, or God with us. There's no name planning ceremony, the little gotchas of what the name is going to be, but there's a stark clarity of a son with a seemingly impossible task, partnered with salvation for the whole world. Sin erased because love can't wait. Sin is part of life, but love cannot wait. We often hear that love drives out darkness, and I think maybe a little nuance to that is necessary. I think that love embraces darkness. Jesus cares that much, wants to be with us that much, that God encompasses all of the darknesses that we have, the darkness that can never, however, eliminate hope. Christ can handle all of our darkness, gives us stars, and helps us to see the way, reminding us that all of creation is good and beautiful. Every one of us, beloved, all of our real feelings, all of the raw selves that we tend to hide from each other and maybe sometimes ourselves. Love is rushing to you. The kingdom is begun. God is dwelling in and with each and every one of us. You are enough, always. Love doesn't wait for you to have to clean it up, to repair the cracks, or to be in the right frame of mind. Love is here, and love is definitely real. It's not an either or. It surpasses that duality that we try so hard to fit into in our lives, and our frail attempts to partition the good from the bad, the sad from the joyful. God takes it all. Hope is here for all of us. Love can't wait. Grief, pain, hardship are real, and yet God loves us so much that God is walking through all of that with us. Any sadness, any grief, coming into our broken world as a vulnerable baby, risking it all to be with us in all the places, on the fringes, with the outcast. So any who might feel lonely or feel unloved, those who doubt, and those who have a faith like Mary and Joseph, and everything in between. All of us, we know that love can't wait. Christ is with us. Emmanuel, love can't wait. Amen.